I'll be reading from Matthew 18, 2 through 5. He called a little child unto him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become the little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me.
Good morning. I'm going to start us off with a prayer this morning. God, we humbly come before you and we come into your presence. We come that we may seek to grow closer to you, grow closer to each other, learn more about your body and how we can serve you. Be with us in this time. Bless us as we go forth. In Christ's name, amen. If you've spent any amount of time with me, what I spend the majority of my time doing is making coffee. I thoroughly enjoy making coffee. At all times in my life, I am caffeinated highly. It is what I have as a hobby. It's what I did as a job throughout college. It is what I have and enjoy thoroughly. And I think as a result of that, that is the metaphor through which I see Christianity, which seems oversimplistic, but I think that we do our best with our metaphors to explain the unexplainable. For me, coffee does that in so many ways, and I think specifically it impacts how we look at our youth. See, when I go to get coffee, I'm going to go to somewhere specific to buy a bag of coffee. Okay, I want the best coffee I can get. I'm going to go find it. Then I'm going to think about what kind of coffee I want to make with it, what style of coffee. So I'm going to find a grind accordingly. I'm going to put it in. I use a pour over in my office. So I'm going to put the filter in, put the coffee in, and I'm going to add water. And this process right here of adding water is called a bloom. So what's going to happen is the coffee is going to flower up and all the nitrogen is going to come out of the coffee beans. This allows the water to come in, remove the oils from the coffee, and what gives coffee a taste. After 30 to 45 seconds, I'll add more water, goes through the filter, and I get a cup of coffee. This process to me reminds me every day of why I believe in God, but why I do my job. Because see, with this job, I go out and seek children. I go out and seek relationships. Then based on who they are, what they enjoy, their experiences, I think about the metaphor through which they could best hear the message of Christ. And I plant that seed. We add that water. The relationship there starts to bloom just a little bit. Okay, and we work deeply in that relationship. Because without a relationship, no one will trust a message. When that trust is built, we add more water. Okay, we let this happen, and we let this process happen. We bring our message to them. It goes through the filter that is their worldview and their culture, and comes out into a cup of coffee. But just like coffee, at the end of that process, you may find out that you've done a terrible job and your coffee is terrible. We've all had a terrible cup of coffee, and sometimes we realize the best of our pursuits still fail terribly. But just like coffee, we start over, we find the person, we find what we did wrong, we find what didn't resonate right, what part of my relationship was lacking, how could I have better given this message, so then the result, they're able to better understand what's coming. I love this metaphor because it talks about the repeated process of over and over and over and over again, just like so many of us that drink coffee 1,000 times a day, that we do this. It's this trial and error of over and over again, seeking the best ways we can possibly find to bring others to the kingdom of God. This is the call, this is our missional efforts. This mirrors our mission, and it mirrors how we can take this mission to other places. And what I love about this youth group is their ability to do this. They have a desire and a passion to bring the word of God to those that they encounter in their life. And there are hundreds of stories from this summer, but unfortunately for me, I guess, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I have a sleepless bundle of joy that came home from the hospital a week and a half ago. So I have been out of pocket just a little bit. So Avery Bedichek has agreed to come tell one of her stories instead for us. So if you come on up here for a second. So if you'll give your name and your grade.
My name is Avery Bedichek, and I'm in eighth grade.
Can you tell us what spiritual gift lets you be a leader and bring others to God?
I think that my spiritual gift that allows me to be a leader is empathy.
Awesome. And can you tell us one story from this summer that really stuck out to you?
My favorite memory from this summer was we went to Camp Blue Haven, and one night they had this thing called early Christian worship, and it was where they set up the chapel, like the catacombs that the early Christians had to worship in so that they wouldn't be killed. And so we just sang and we tried to replicate the kind of worship that they had.
Thank you. With this, Camp Blue Haven and so many things other like it are small glimpses of the stories that we get from this thing, these things. Okay, moments where they're poured into, moments where they pour into each other, and moments they're pouring into other people. Okay? I love these different areas, these aspects that they get to do this with. It makes me really, truly, truly happy that they're able to do this. They have a passion to have mission. They have a passion to grow other people towards God. And I think one way this is manifested, and one of the ways I think it's highly manifested, is their desire to bring in our new sixth grade class. So the beginning of last month, we did our sixth grade initiation, which was a scavenger hunt this year. And there's lots of ridiculous things like them daring each other to eat, drink pickle juice for like half an hour through this giant jar of pickles they got there, through so many other things. But what stuck out in that group happened in my group, because I didn't have the, unfortunately, I couldn't be in all the groups. So the group that I was in had a unique experience. We had four of our youth members submitting to the ideas of a sixth grade member, a new member that they did not know very well yet. Okay. So Kendall Betacek has me, Will Grubbs, Ellie Padilla, Ellie's friend Kimora, all Dan Angel, our intern, all standing in front of the Daggett Middle School sign, doing a line dance that they did for a talent show at Blue Haven in front of a group of people walking their dogs and pointing and laughing at us. Okay. It was this glorious moment of they submitted themselves to her so that they could accomplish a scavenger hunt, use her idea, and they had a blast with it. And if I had any technological experience whatsoever, I would play this video behind me, but unfortunately for all of them, I do not. But with this, it's this idea that they carry a mission. They carry this desire. That's why I love this Sunday. It's this opportunity for me to share with you how they are carrying out the mission of God. Okay. We tried to model this, or this last year we tried to model this, after the calling in Acts 1:8. Okay? Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so that's what we sought to do. That was our theme this year, was service. How can we serve all of these groups? How can we serve these communities? And so we started in Judea. We started in our neighborhood. Okay, with the Victory Center Halloween extravaganza thing. Okay. We came, we were able to help them put on games. They were able to sit there and work with all the different kids from all over the neighborhood who came to do their Halloween celebration at the Victory Forest Center, which was a great and wonderful thing. Looking down the road, we got to go to Houston this summer, okay, where they worked at Impact Church of Christ. And this, to me, was a unique missional experience. Okay. This was our mission trip for this summer, but what it did is it put them into contact with third, fourth, and fifth graders from inner city Houston, and they were in charge in groups of about five, of about 25 to 30 kids each. And with that, chaos ensued. Okay. Like it was crazy, it was nuts, everything went terribly wrong, everything went every direction, and it was amazingly and fun. Okay. But this same thing comes back to me with that whole cup of coffee, okay, is that they showed up, they tried to make a relationship, and it failed miserably, okay? So then they decided to try again, and then it failed miserably. And for that entire first day, for hours and hours and hours and hours, with every single kid, they tried to make a relationship and failed miserably. But what was glorious about this is what they did is they planted a seed. They said, you are worth me trying to do this over and over and over again. You are worth the effort it takes to do this. So Tuesday when they showed up, they had a relationship. They didn't have to say anything Tuesday. The fact that they showed back up after they rained chaos down upon them the first day was enough for them to say, okay, they're going to come back. Because so much of their life, people don't come back. So the fact that these kids did meant something. And so Tuesday, they built these relationships, and they built these relationships, and they built these relationships, and they grew them. And Tuesday felt a little bit better. Okay, there was more happiness than just crying in a corner somewhere darkly. Okay, it was this moment of transition. Okay, Wednesday, the same thing, and Thursday, by the end of the week, these relationships that were causing them so much grief at the beginning of the week was met with tears and hugs and laughter as they were leaving this place, and an immediate desire to sign up to go back next year to work and grow these relationships again. It was this whole idea of, we're going to work together to grow the kingdom of God in our neighborhood. We even had, which I was unfortunately able to join this year, but I was so blessed by getting to hear their stories, many of ours go on international mission trips. We had Avery Betacek with Honduras and Ecuador. We had in Nima Village, Sebastian Archibald, Lily Fields, Anna Yoder, Claire Green, who went out into the world to live out Acts 1:8, who went out to the ends of the earth to spread Christ, to be Christ's light in the world around them. This desire to grow and be who they are called to be, who they can be. But this isn't just about them. This is about all of us, because we need to be an important part of their life. You see, we are like jars, okay, to use another metaphor, okay, that we continually pour out what is in our jar until we're empty. And as we grow as Christians, we learn and we hope to grow into a way that what fills our jar is the Holy Spirit. That while we can pour, we will never run empty, while we will never be thirsty again. Okay? But that's not an ingrained skill. That's not an ingrained ability. That has to be learned and matured and grown. They have to be often poured into and over again. Yeah, so many of us feel empty after we're pouring into our lives all the time, that we feel this deeply, that we know that we aren't there yet. And we're amazed when we run into someone who can truly go like the Energizer Bunny forever and never run out of steam. Like, it's this glorious moment where they're able to do this. Okay? And that's where our church comes in. We need to be able to grow this ability in them. We need to be able to pour back into them so that their vase is full. We need to show them how to fill their vase with the Holy Spirit so that they will never run empty. So that they're able to grow and grow and continue to serve and serve and serve. This missional youth group is a mission to those around them, but they have to be filled to be able to accomplish that mission. And I think that's where you come into play. Through things like Kids Hope, which is beyond just the youth group, but is in all of our children's ministry, is an opportunity for you to come into their lives and to pour into their lives. What's unique about Kids Hope, not only do we van kids in additionally for this, but is that with the increased number of adults in this ministry, we're able to have smaller group settings in a more intimate way to add Christian mentors and relationships to their life and allow them to ask questions that they wouldn't normally have the opportunity to ask. It's a direct moment where you can have a time in somebody's life where you're able to truly, truly grow them, to spend unique time with them and to grow them into something new. We have not 3-2-1 Go Camp anymore, but we have a new summer program that Jana McGilvery is working on, summer for our children's ministry. Okay? Where you'll be able to come into this ministry, you'll be able to work with these kids and bless kids from all over our neighborhood and some from within our church and help them grow and start this seed, plant the seed in their life so that they're able to grow all these different things. And on our unique to my ministry basis is we have retreats, we have mission trips, we have all these events where you can come and serve, spend large amounts of time and get no sleep with a bunch of kids and grow closer to them and help them grow closer to God in a unique contained atmosphere. For those of you who don't understand why retreats are so important, it removes outside cultural influence so that they are to fully receive the message of God without distraction. So the way I talk to them about this sometimes is, if you think about it, okay, I'm trying to give you a conversation. But if I'm in the middle of a conversation with you and then I pull out my phone and get on it and walk away, you're not going to finish the conversation. There's going to be something in between us. Okay? They've actually shown studies that even having your phone on a table turned upside down still shows that you lack importance for someone else in a conversation. Okay? Just the fact that your phone is present in a moment shows that there's something in between these two things. So with no phones, with no distractions, with just relationships, we take them to this place so they can have real fellowship. Undistracted, unfiltered fellowship with each other. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And if you would like to, I'd love to give you the opportunity to work with us on one of these retreats. To me, though, with these events, with these pouring into, what this does is it reveals so many of our strengths. If we look at this morning, we had so many of these teenagers working diligently to put on service this morning and to be leaders in this church. And I am so unbelievably proud of them that none of them that served this morning asked me not to do it. None of them fought me on it. None of them took coercing. I asked, and they said yes, every single one of them. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing to see their desire to be leaders, their willingness to lead. It wasn't a coercion, it wasn't anything, it was their desire to be able to do that. And I love this so much. I love their desire to be together. But with our growing, with our time together, we see areas of weakness. Okay? And so this year, we pick a theme every year, okay, to help with our weaknesses and create new strengths in them. So our weakness this year was singing. I'm not saying that I'm not a good song leader, but last time I led singing for the youth group, we started at bass and then ended at like soprano by the chorus and just like wildly out there. And so with this, I keep trying with this, but it is just atrocious. I'm the worst song leader ever. And so I have Seb here who can help me lead songs on my retreats. I have Debbie and Alice who help me lead songs at our Impact mission trip. There's these moments where they are able to step up and use their gifts. And through my own shortcomings, we have a weakness. And so this year we're focusing intently on turning this weakness into a strength with saturation of song. Okay? That every time we are together, we are actively going to be pursuing song. Every service, every class, every event, there will be singing. What I love, though, is that with Jana's addition to our ministry team, she also is taking part of this with her. She's taking this to our children's ministry with our Wednesday night changing up how they're doing their curriculum. She'll be including the songs that we're using as a youth group and bringing them into our children's ministry. Okay, so those of you who are helping with Kids Hope and different ministries like that will have the opportunity to extend this and work with this mission and this goal as well. But it's this desire for them to grow this spiritual discipline, because there's so many different spiritual disciplines and we work on all of them so that we're able to grow closer to God. And while different disciplines speak uniquely to each of us, they're an important toolkit in what we are as Christians. But I think with this, not everyone is able to feel this. Not everyone is able to feel these things. Not everyone is aware of their own weaknesses. I think just like our youth group analyzes and we think about where we want to be, where we want to grow, I think that our church needs to do the same thing. I think that we need to be willing to look in our lives to see our weaknesses, to see where we need to be poured into. We need to find where we need to grow. We need to find what we need to feel closer to God. What spiritual disciplines are we lacking? What areas of our life are there holes in? And so with this, in a minute, we're going to have our elders and our ministers surrounding the auditorium for you to come to. And so if maybe you had kids and your kids are grown and you just never got plugged back in, that your vase ran empty and you've just kind of become stagnant. Maybe you're new and you haven't found a way to get connected, and because of that, your passion for Christ, it's getting inhibited because of your inability to find opportunity. Let us help you find that opportunity. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you've been running this race a long time. You've got families and everything else going on in your life, and you are just tired. And you need to learn again how to find a way to fill that vase with something far greater than the water you've been filling it with. That is what we offer you this morning, is the opportunity to come to meet with our ministry, to meet with our elders, so that you can find new ways to fill the vase in your life, so that you may be filled again with the Holy Spirit, that you may be lights to a world, and you may be a missional church to the best of your ability. So if you have any need whatsoever, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing our song of encouragement.